Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. I am so grateful, thankful, and blessed for another day for answered prayer this morning. And the word that God gave me today was, no one is holy like the Lord, nor is there any rock like our God. Our God will bring you through whatever it is the enemy throws at us. And all we can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank God this morning that you have another day, because somebody did not wake up this morning. Somebody was not given an opportunity for a do-over, but you were. And so all I can say is thank you, God. I'm all filled up this morning. Today is my granddaughter's birthday. Can't believe she is 23 years old today. Oh, wow. Oh, this morning. But grateful that God gave me a desire of my heart, which was to be a grandparent. And I am thankful for it. You know, and I just want to say this. I was listening to a congresswoman, and I'm not going to even call her name, who said that a person was not a parent because she was a stepmother, that so she didn't know anything about being a mother today. I am grateful that God gave me the most wonderful women in my life who call me daughter. And I love them as if they were the ones that gave birth to me. So I say to all those out there, don't negate stepmoms. Don't negate godmothers. Don't negate those that love you just because. And so I'm thankful that I had my mom that gave me birth. I had my mother and father that raised me. I am grateful forward and be a grandparent. I am grateful that I can pay it forward and be a youth pastor. I am grateful that I can pay it forward being a mother to my children. God loves us all, and we have to know that God adopted us into his family, and he is our father, no matter what anybody says. So give God praise this morning for being a great, great father, for being a wonderful God, bringing you through whatever it is that you go through. And the prayer I have for this morning, I have two today. This one, I'm going to pray before we start. And it's thankful in trials. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, NRSV. And this verse I want to read, King James, because it does something to my heart. The book of James is powerful. It is probably one of the most powerful books in the Bible. James keeps it real. And he tells us about being patient in temptation. And it says, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy. You fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Wanting nothing, lacking nothing. God, you are our ever-present help in time of trouble. Look at my life and see what I am up against. I can't pretend I don't have concerns. But, Lord, when I look at your word, I am reminded of the fruit that comes from facing trials. I will not despair for the troubles I am experiencing, knowing that no one is immune to hard times. Your grace is sufficient in each and every one. Let me endure the test of my faith with the joy of foresight that sees that pressure produces beautiful treasures. Without intense pressure and times of darkness, there wouldn't be gems of many kinds, including diamonds. When I am walking through the darkness of a trial, may I remember that the most precious treasures are created in those situations I yield to you, even now, asking for your heavenly perspective to help me through. Ooh, what a prayer. Thank you, Father God, for this prayer this morning. From this 365 days of prayer, Lord, you know the word that is going to be spoken this morning, that is going to be about faith, God. Faith like Hannah, to bring in to this world one of the greatest prophets ever, named Samuel. God, in through, we thank you, God. And we ask you, God, to increase as we decrease, God. I pray, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. I lift this word to you, God. May it touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, God. That someone who may be listening that does not know you, God, that this word will touch their heart and they will say, how do I get to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Father God, I pray as you come in and take control, God, let the words of my mouth, Lord God, as I pray, be filled with you and your words, not mine. In Jesus' name, I pray, thanking you, Lord, for another day. Thanking you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Amen. Ooh, that prayer filled me up. And it says, what can you be thankful for in the trial you are facing? Ooh, hallelujah. God, I don't know who wrote this prayer book, but it's almost like every time we have a prayer, it goes so well with the lesson. And I know that when we get to Sister Carolyn's word this morning, it's going to also go with our lesson. And so today we start a new book, and I am so excited. I love the book of Samuel. First and Second Samuel. Samuel was one of the greatest prophets ever. Samuel was the one that God chose, woo, and whose mother gave him back to God. You know, as a mother, it's hard to just give your baby to kindergarten, to preschool. Just imagine giving your newly weaned baby to a preacher, to a temple, to be a minister as a baby. He was just a wee little boy, and his mama came every year with his new little outfit. Come on now. That would be so difficult. But Hannah promised God. Remember we talked about vows, that when you make a vow to God, you got to keep it. She prayed for children. She prayed for a child, and she said, whatever you give me, Lord, I'm giving it back. And we're going to go over that word this morning. She gave back her baby to God. And this is what the word says in our little Know Your Bible. And it says, not stated. Samuel himself was likely involved through some of the history of 1 Samuel occurred after the prophet's death, approximately 1100 to 1000 B.C. Israel's 12 tribes unite under a king. Details, please. An infant, an infertile woman, Hannah, turning to the Lord's service. Samuel is born and soon sent to the temple to serve under the aging priest, Eli. Upon Eli's death, Samuel serves as judge or deliverer of Israel, subduing the nation's fearsome enemy, the Philistines. As Samuel ages, Israel's tribal leaders reject his sinful son. I'm sorry, it should be as Eli. That is not quite correct. But it says, and it says here is Samuel, but it's actually Eli. And it says, as Eli ages, Israel's tribal leaders reject his sinful sons and ask for a king. Samuel warns that a king will tax the people and force them into service, but they insist. And God tells Samuel to anoint the notably tall and handsome Saul as Israel's first ruler. Again, Samuel, just like all of us, he saw this handsome young man that, you know, looked kingly. So, again, looking at the outside, and he was great, but he, just like all of us, saw the serpent. And it says, and so God answered and said, okay, this is the one you're choosing. Let him be the king. And it says this, King Saul starts well, but begins making poor choices. And when he offers a sacrifice to God, a job reserved for priests, Samuel tells Saul that he will be replaced. Saul's successor will be a shepherd named David, who with God's help kills a giant Philistine warrior named Goliath and becomes Israel's hero. The jealous king seeks to kill David, who runs for his life. David rejects opportunities to kill Saul himself, saying, I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. Saul dies battling the Philistines, making way for David to become king. And some quotables from 1 Samuel. The Lord said unto Samuel, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that's 15 and 22 of 1 Samuel. And then it says, then said David to the Philistine Goliath, thou come to me with the sword and with the spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, 17 and 45 of 1 Samuel. And the unique and unusual about Samuel, the future king Saul is a donkey herder. And we'll find that, we'll see that in chapter 9, verse 5, who tries to hide from his own coronation, 10 verses 21 through 22, as King Saul breaks his own law by asking a medium to call up the spirit of the dead Samuel, chapter 28. And the so why of 1 Samuel. Selfish choices, such as the Israelites' request for a king and Saul's decision to offer a sacrifice he had no business making, can have heavy, even tragic consequences. What a mighty word we are about to experience. So please get your Bibles, but this is Bible study, and we are going into 1 Samuel, and I am so excited. So please join me, 1 Samuel, get your Bibles, and we will be in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3 through 20. verses 1 through 47, the 53rd Psalm, verses 1 through 6, and Proverbs chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. So get your Bibles, get your Bibles, get your Bibles. I am excited. I love this word today. So I'm sure you can feel my excitement through your medium, from your phone to your social, through Facebook, through Twitter, whatever you're listening on. This host is excited because this is a great word. Faith mountains. Faith can open a closed wound. Look at God. It says, now there was a certain man of Ramathim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zupha, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hephani and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion. But he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, would said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than dead sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaints and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition. When you have asked of him, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away. Face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his words. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. You know, when you think about this, this woman had faith. She had mighty faith to give her baby to God. We'll get to the life lessons of 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3 after we read all three chapters. We'll come back and do the life lessons. And again, my condolences to Charles Stanley's family. What a mighty man of God. All I can say is thank you, God, for this wonderful Bible. And thank you, Dr. Stanley, for writing these life lessons and these life examples that bring us through and make these lessons come alive. All I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that mighty man of God. And I thank you, God, for your wonderful word. And as we go to chapter 2, for those just joining us this morning, we are in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, she was rejoicing. Woo, hallelujah. She was rejoicing because God heard her prayer. It says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Hallelujah. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, our title for this morning. But there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Hallelujah. You got to smile at your enemies. Benaiah treated Hannah like dirt because she didn't have any children. She, excuse me, she hounded her. She talked about it. Took her name through the mud. You know she did. Huh. She ain't nothing. She can't even give her husband children. You know she talking, Hannah. She's like, hey, I know I'm giving my baby to God, but I know that I was blessed because my child will be a man of God. Hallelujah. And I got to go there again. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemy because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, but there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. No more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. Whew. In other words, those folks that do you wrong, God's got it covered. For the Lord is the God of knowledge. God knows everything. And by him, actions are weighed. Understand, they will pay for the things that they do. Ooh, charge. Thank you, Lord. Since the bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He rises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and makes them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet. For my strength, no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah. The word of God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Hallelujah. Hannah was praying because she had gone through. We all have our times where we go through, but we got to know our God is in charge. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's customs with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest come with a three-pronged fishhook in his hand while the meat was broiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, but he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires, he would then answer him, no, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah, say, the Lord give you a descendant from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And I have to put a pin there. God gave her grace. He gave her five additional children besides the one that was given to God. God gave her grace. What a mighty God we serve. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my son, but it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and men. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me surely be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever, but any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now, this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And one day they shall die, both of them. I will rise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread. Chapter 3 of the book of 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, which Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am. You did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything, and he had nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And as we go back to the life lessons from 1 Samuel, it says in 1 Samuel verse 1, chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord has closed the womb. The Lord closed Hannah's womb, not Satan, not an accident, not nature. He is sovereign, and he does according to his will. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, if you'd like to write that down. God used Hannah's grief to bring forth Samuel and give her great joy. Hannah faced a battle she could not win on her own. When she finally fought that battle on her knees, she won a great victory. So can we. Ooh, I love that. Sister Carolyn has given that as a word. When you have a battle, fight it on your knees. Hannah asking in faith. Hannah is an excellent biblical example of asking in faith. And so has someone else. Through the years, Elkanah's second wife, Benaiah, bore several sons and daughters to him. While Hannah remained barren, Hannah longed for a baby of her own. Finally, one year, Hannah went to the doorway of the tabernacle and wept and prayed to the Lord in great anguish, asking for a son and vowing to give him to the Lord. The Lord heard Hannah's request and answered it. 9 months later, she bore a son named Samuel, who grew up to become the prophet and judge of all Israel. Would Samuel have been born if Hannah had not asked God to give her a son? The Bible seems to answer no. Samuel appeared on the scene in direct response to Hannah's heartfelt request. 1 Samuel verses, chapter 1, verse 18. The woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Hannah left behind her grief, not when her circumstances changed. They hadn't. But after she poured out her soul to the Lord, because of her grief, she connected the Lord on a level she had never known. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. We can smile at our enemies when we remember that we serve a God who takes great delight in saving and redeeming us. When we rejoice in the Lord and not merely in his blessings, we find a joy known nowhere else. If you are a believer in God, a believer in Christ, the Lord promises to guard your feet, to give you direction, counsel, guidance, and protection on the life road ahead of you. Woof, what a word. Dr. Stanley, I love you. Chapter 2, verse 17. The sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. The two sons of Eli served as priests for a long time, even though they did not know the Lord. It is easy to go to church and even serve in leadership capacities there without ever making the Lord your Lord. However, God takes it very seriously when leaders, by their evil conduct, make it hard for people to worship in spirit and in truth. He wants a close relationship with us, and he will move against anything that stands in the way. Chapter 3, verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Early in life, Samuel learned to obey, even though at the beginning he did not understand the process. So when God first spoke to Samuel, the boy didn't know yet his voice, but he learned to hear it soon. God desires that we enjoy a close relationship with him, and he will do everything necessary to make it possible. The ground, I'm sorry. That's it. And let's go to, go with me to our Psalms this morning. The 53rd Psalm, verses 1 through 6. 6, through the chief musician, Tetta, my Haleth, a contemplation of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable inquiries. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek him. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great fear. There no fear was, where no fear was. But God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Proverbs 15:8-11. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men. What a word. Luke chapter 9 happened on one of those days as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes together with the elders confronted him and spoke to him saying, tell us by what authority are you doing these things, or who is he who gave you this authority? But he answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us. But they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. In other words, mind your business. Then he began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to vine dressers, and went into a far country for a long time. Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, certainly not. Then he looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people. For they knew he had spoken this parable against them. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Then they asked him, saying, Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Trying to trip him up. But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. In other words, pay your taxes and pay your tithes. But they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people. And they marveled at his answer and kept silent. And a life lesson from Luke chapter 20, verse 20. They watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous. Every age has its religious phonies. Come on now. Ours included. Jesus told us to be on the alert for them. But even more, to make sure that we do not become one of them ourselves. Each of us must guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23. We must guard our hearts because the enemy is the sneaky, low-down, dirty snake who will do his best to ease in, to pull you away from the Lord. And we have to stand strong. And Luke chapter 20, verse 27. Then some of the Sadducees who deny that there is a resurrection came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies having a wife and he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her as wife, and he died childless. Then the third took her, and in like manner, the seventh also, they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy, come on now, I got to say it one more time. Those who are counted worthy by the Holy Spirit, those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, but they are to the angels. Come on now. Those that are worthy for the angels' resurrection. God, we are not married to whoever we were married to on earth. When we die, we are not given in marriage. We are equal to the angels. Not my words, but God's words. And our sons of God. Sons of the resurrection, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live through him. You say it. Are children of God. Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. We are like angels in the next life. Not my words, but God's words. And because God is the God of the living and not the dead. Hallelujah. Then some of the scribes answered and said, Teacher, you have spoken well. But after that, they did not question him anymore. He had to put them in their place. He had to let them know who he was. Tell him who you are. And Jesus let him know who he was. Come on now. He didn't play with these folks. Playing games in the church. Playing games with the word of God. He did not play that. And he didn't give them any kind of leeway. He went and let them have it. As they say, he had them have it. Because they was playing playing with God. And he said to them, how can they say that the Christ is the son of David? Now, David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David called him, Lord, how is he then his son? Bam, he's letting them know, I was there. I was there back then, and I'm here today. There as the Lord of David. I was there with Samuel. I was there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was there in the beginning. The word, hallelujah. He told them. In the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the market, places the best seats in the synagogue, and the best places at feast, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive great condemnation. And as Dr. Stanley tells us, just as the faithful believers will receive greater rewards than those who disregard their divine assignments, so God's judgment will fall more severely on some than others. Each will receive what he has earned. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. And we're going to go over there real quick to Romans chapter 2, verse 6. I love to say Acts to the Romans. That's what, how we taught our kids when we taught them the books of the Bible. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. And to get it in context, we're going to go up to verse 5. He says, but after they hardened an infinite heart treasured up unto themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who be patient, continues in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. God is said, hey, You basically, you reap what you sow. If you sow contention, that's what you're going to get. If you sow love, that's what you're going to get. And as we go into our prayer this morning, where are you? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Hallelujah. Matthew 18 and 20, ESV. And we know it as where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I am also. I believe there I am also. Every present one. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You are my rock steady companion in life. What did our word for today say? That who is our rock? What did Hannah pray? What did Hannah shout at? Oh, thank you, Lord. No one is holy like the Lord, but there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Ever present one, you are my rock steady companion in life. There is no one quite like you. You're exceedingly faithful to those you love. Who can take away what you give? The gift of your presence is beautiful. I love together with others who love you. When I pray with others, I sense your grace and comfort in a way that's different than on my own. I have known the beauty of your comfort in the privacy of my pain. Also felt your comfort in the company of others, and there's no way to describe the depth of the meaning it holds. Your presence is always with your people. What a powerful reminder. A cord of three strands cannot be easily broken. Even though we could go it alone with you, it's always better to journey together. The support of a good friend is incredible medicine. I certainly can't be my own friend, and that's not how you designed it. I'm grateful for companionship in spirit and in body. And the word for today, who encourages you in your faith? Who encourages you in your faith? What a great word this morning. And before we get ready to wrap up, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. What a mighty word God has given us today. I can't do any more than just, I'm filled up. I am very filled up because to know that God answers our prayers, even when we're going through our barrenness, God will open our wounds. Even when we're going through, God will come through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And as Sister Carolyn, always God gives her a word that is needed and that goes with our word for the day. Good morning. Come on now, Sister Carolyn. God is using you today. Our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be and makes us new creatures in Christ. Have a spiritual Sunday. Family, I got to read it again. Our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be and makes us new creatures in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning for your faith, because it is your faith that will get you through. Others look at you and say, I don't understand it. My faith has gotten me through. I'm filled up. I can't help myself because I just think about how good God is. Even when you're going through, God comes through. Never give up on God, because he won't give up on you. Hallelujah. We have a couple of minutes left. If there's anyone that would like to speak or has a word from God this morning, now is the time to push the 1 on your phone or call 213-943-3597. And we have a caller. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Your line is open, 7959.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Bridget. Just truly grateful on this beautiful Sunday morning, thanking God for blessing us to live a whole month. So this is the 30th day, the end of this month. Truly, God has given his grace upon us to live to see 30 days. It's all his grace and all his favor, just like he had poured his grace and his favor out on Hannah's womb. Hallelujah. I'm filled up on today too, Pastor. Hallelujah. That's all I have. And good morning and everyone. Hallelujah. All across the nation, remember that God pours out his grace and his favor. Hallelujah. Upon this holiday on full day. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. God Almighty.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Shannon. We appreciate you, Evangelist. May God bless you for a wonderful day. And I just have to give this little antidote as we pray out. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Don't sit in anybody's pew. If they are not speaking and preaching the word of God, keep it moving. That's all I got to say. But I had to say this. On last Sunday, I'm over what the choir wears. And we have a teal-colored polo shirt. I could not find my shirt last week. I prayed and prayed and prayed and looked and looked and looked and could not find this shirt. And it was another shirt I was looking for and couldn't find it either. Looked through all my T-shirts, all my everything. can find it. Yesterday evening, I come in. Now, I've been in and out of my room all day and came in my room last night, and they're sitting as big as day, as if God just laid it there with this teal polo shirt that I tore up a closet looking for last week, sitting right there in front of me. And all I could do was laugh. Said, Lord, you sure do have a sense of humor. You can bring out anything and everything. I just laughed. I couldn't help it. I just started laughing. And then I started thanking God as I put it away. I just couldn't do nothing but laugh. Because God will give you the desire of your heart when you least expect it. So thanking God for all of you. Thanking God for my grandchildren. Sending out a happy birthday to my oldest, Leah, on her 23rd birthday. May God watch over her and bless her. In Jesus' name, I pray again over each and every one of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. And remember, with faith, what's lost can be found, and what's needed can be resolved. Have a great day. It's a blessed day. As Sister Carolyn says, faith. Let's go there. We're ending on Sister Carolyn's words. Our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be and makes us new creatures in Christ. Have a spiritual Sunday, family. May God bless you and may God keep you. Come back and join us on tomorrow, God willing, as we move forward in God's word. Have a blessed day, Evangelist. Thank you so much for all you do and for your prayers. Have a great day. It's a wrap. It's a wrap, Evangelist.
It's a wrap.